Life Support by Tess Gerritsen, narrated by George Guidel. This work, copyrighted 1997 by Tess Gerritsen, is recorded by arrangement with Simon & Schuster Audio. The overnight ER rotation at Springer Hospital is a calm one, which suits Dr. Toby Harper just fine. While Toby is fiercely proud of the stripes she earned as a resident in a big city ER, she's come to appreciate the pace at Springer. But no hospital could have been prepared for the man Toby admits one quiet night. Delirious and in critical condition from a possible viral infection of the brain, he barely responds to treatment. And then he disappears without a trace. And now, Life Support.
Chapter 1. A scalpel is a beautiful thing. Dr. Stanley Mackey had never noticed this before, but as he stood with head bowed beneath the OR lamps, he suddenly found himself marveling at how the light reflected with diamond-like brilliance off the blade. It was a work of art, that razor-sharp lunula of stainless steel. So beautiful, in fact, that he scarcely dared to pick it up, for fear he would somehow tarnish its magic. In its surface he saw a rainbow of colors, light fractured to its purest elements. "Dr. Mackey, is something wrong?" He looked up and saw the scrub nurse frowning at him over her surgical mask. He had never before noticed how green her eyes were. He seemed to be seeing, really seeing, so many things for the very first time. The creamy texture of the nurse's skin, the vein coursing along her temple, the mole just above her eyebrow. Or was it a mole? He stared. It was moving, crawling like a many-legged insect toward the corner of her eye. "Stan?" Dr. Rudman, the anesthesiologist, was speaking now, his voice slicing through Mackey's dismay. "Are you all right?" Mackey gave his head a shake. The insect vanished. It was a mole again. Just a tiny fleck of black pigment on the nurse's pale skin. He took a deep breath and picked up the scalpel from the instrument tray. He looked down at the woman lying on the table. The overhead light had already been focused on the patient's lower abdomen. Blue surgical drapes were clamped in place, framing a rectangle of exposed skin. It was a nice flat belly with a bikini line connecting the twin flares of the hip bones. A surprising sight to behold in this season of snowstorms and winter white faces. What a shame he would have to cut into it. An appendectomy scar would certainly mar any future Caribbean tans. He placed the tip of the blade on the skin, centering his incision on McBurney's point, halfway between the navel and the protrusion of the right hip bone, the approximate location of the appendix. With scalpel poised to cut, he suddenly paused. His hand was shaking. He didn't understand it. This had never happened before. Stanley Mackey had always possessed rock-steady hands. Now it took enormous effort just to maintain his grip on the handle. He swallowed and lifted the blade from the skin. "Easy. Take a few deep breaths. This will pass." "Stan?" Mackey looked up and saw that Dr. Rudman was frowning. So were the two nurses. Mackey could read the questions in their eyes, the same questions that people had been whispering about him for weeks. Is old Dr. Mackey competent? At the age of 74, should he still be allowed to operate? He ignored their looks. He had already defended himself before the Quality Assurance Committee, had explained, to their satisfaction, the circumstances of his last patient's death. Surgery, after all, was not a risk-free proposition. When too much blood pools in the abdomen, it's...